Welcome home. We are WNST, Tass in Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Fadley's, a beautiful Lexington market. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Had a young man come over here, a little younger than me, but not too young, asking for a Pac-Man scratch-off. So we have lottery scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. We're going to have these all summer long. We're going to be here on Fridays before the games. Luke and I are not going to be under the duress that we're usually under with draft and Jackson Holiday and the Yankees coming to town and beautiful weather and all that good stuff. But you were up late last night on Thursday night, and you didn't get a chance to watch documentary, and you thought I was giving you a hard time because you didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And I realized, like, when I went to make this thing, the idea was to make a 6 to 8 minute sort of little hit and run telling the history of the company. And then the more I talked to Greg Landry about it, he's like, nah, we should make it, you know, 15 to 18 minutes or whatever. It turned out to be 36 minutes and 36 seconds. And 36 is like my favorite number. It's also my lucky number. When I first saw Springsteen, I hit the lottery on 9/36 was my number. So when I found that out, I thought, like, okay. So I'm not sore at you for not watching. Some people have watched, some people haven't. But all I want you to, it's a commitment. It's not like, it's destination. It's not like you just put it on or listen on the radio. It's never going to run on the radio. See, it's not meant for the radio.
You're misrepresenting this a little bit. As I told you, again? I watched some of it, and I listened on my way home from Owings Mills at 1:30 in the morning.
But you don't
want
to listen.
Thursday
don't
night.
Listen. I just felt like you should have been listening to Led Zeppelin. Listen to Brill Hart on the radio, not in my podcast.
I listen to podcasts, and I listen to sermons and all kinds of stuff when I drive.
I understand that, but it's not. They're not showing you something.
But my point is, you're
saying... It's a documentary.
Saying,
it's visual.
But you're saying... Well, but some people can't see.
Okay. But you're not one of them.
I guess my point is, don't make it out to sound like, oh, Luke didn't bother to watch it. So that's all I'm saying.
No, Luke didn't have time to watch it. That's my whole point.
Yes.
My whole point is
my 3 hours of sleep on Thursday.
Look, there were a lot of people to watch it the first night, and
gotcha.
The reason I released it was not everybody was eating free cheese puffs out in the
castle. They did
castle.
Have lasagna, too.
How was that? Was that meat or was it veggie? Was that
they
nice?
They had both. I had the meat.
Hey, look.
Although I like veggie lasagna too, but it was good.
I like Eddie Dopkin. We got along great. Matter of fact, I found pictures of me at Nate's and Leon's with Kevin Malone doing a show in front of the pastry cake case over there. It's now like a Chipotle or whatever that thing is on the corner.
Okay.
That was Nate's
gotcha.
And Leon's.
Yeah.
I was at Nate's and Leon's the day that Ray Lewis got medevaced. In practice, in August.
What, 97,
dude, that
right?
was a great. I think it was crazy news days,
I
right?
I went to training camp. I wasn't there that day. I think I went the day before or the day after. I just have a memory of going with my. I mean, I wasn't even driving in 1997 yet. So but I know I went.
I got
right
socks older
then,
than you.
Right around then, and you know, Ray was my guy. I mean, I was 14 years old, first favorite player of anyone for a Baltimore NFL team. So, yeah, that was scary at the time.
It was
very
scary. So, we're here at Fadley's. The documentary's out. I mean, I don't know what to say other than it was like having a baby. Like, Thursday night when it got released, finally, because, like, we made it. It's an HD movie. It was 17 gigs. Can you imagine that uploading in Shrewsbury? 17 gigs?
No,
trying to get that to YouTube?
No, because it would still be uploading.
Yeah, it would take a week and a half to get up, right? So it took me, you know, when I looked at it, it's like 26 minutes, and I'm like, but it's 4:59. Like, I want to release this at 5:08. So luckily nobody was all clamoring, but I released it at 5:29, and it's a 36-minute film. So even if you started watching it then.
Yeah.
You couldn't even say anything nice to me or pick on me until 6:10, maybe 6:15. But it was amazing. But between 6:30 and 7:30, how much feedback I did get
Good.
In the first hour.
Good. Well, and that it coincided with a long, long, long wait for the Ravens to pick. So
and a long wait for me to get this film out because
yeah,
I started
so
the countdown
go.
11 days ago.
Yeah.
12 days ago with Vinny Testaverde.
That's true.
Did you see the Vinny piece yet?
I did. Of course I did. First of all, I was there. Right? I mean, that was in Miami. That was the last...
Tell everybody how shocked I was that Vinny Testaverde spoke to me in that way.
I think you were shocked, first of all, that he was even doing Radio Row. because he even said he didn't really, he wasn't a guy who liked doing media. I mean, not saying he was a jerk, but.
He was never a jerk.
He didn't like doing it.
He lived in Annapolis. When he moved here, somebody told him to live in Annapolis and play football in Owings Mills. So he had an hour commute every day.
That's a hike.
And he had kids. And, I didn't talk to him about why he did that. We probably should have asked him about that. I'll say this. You go back to that. As you watch this documentary and see those newsletters and people, Shannon Sharp and Ray Lewis and Rod Woodson and
Trent Dilfer. I like seeing the signs. I remember getting many signs over the years.
So, the get nasty signs?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dump Trumpy and all that.
So thank you. So, we don't talk about this stuff much.
I want to make clear that I did.
It's awkward for me that you're so young. So handsome and intelligent.
That hasn't changed.
Of course not. I would just say, in that era, it's just different, man. Like, live news and doing a live show at Hooters and things that would – I'm telling you, I was live on the air at Nate's and Leon's, and there's no internet to look up whether Ray Lewis is really getting medevaced or not. There's calling my mother and saying, put the news on and tell me what's going on television, and Channel 11 has a cop – I'm back in the kitchen trying to watch a television.
Right.
It's a different era. Like, all of it feels and acts and smells so different when Art Modell would come out to the barn because he thought it was important to meet with the community. Like, he believed in that kind of stuff. Not for good or bad or Cleveland or Baltimore. It's just the way he was wired. It was his business, and he had to show that he cared more than anyone. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the way he was. But that whole era is I can romanticize it in one way or another, but it's not coming back.
No.
And that's one of the reasons, sharing it and – but Vinny, that era – so Vinny comes 96 – I don't need to tell you, but 96, 97. And then Zaire, Harbaugh came in 98, Tony Banks and – there's a picture in there of Jeff Blake.
Scott Mitchell.
Scott
– the leap of faith.
I love Scott Mitchell.
Love Coach Billick.
All of these guys came out to the barn is my point. So if you and I were to, seriously – on my life, if you bet on my life, every single Raven who played for the team between 96 and probably Suggs getting drafted,
okay?
So when that period of time.
For 7-8 years.
Every single player who played for the team who I really wanted to have out. There are a couple guys that had card games with shoot-em-ups and stuff that I didn't, Ralph Staten never came and had a beer with me, right? But if you played on the Ravens and you were a starter, backup, didn't matter who you were. I mean, I didn't have star. How do you think I knew Spencer Flau and Mike Flynn?
Yeah.
They weren't starters. They were dudes that became starters. But every player came except Vinny.
Hmm.
Even Matt Stover eventually came out.
See, I don't know if you said
Matt had children, and it was always with Matt. It was about God, children, Monday, family. It's my wife's night. And I only did it on Monday, so I wasn't flexible. Mm-hmm. When I got more flexible with Matt, Matt's like, I'll do third. With Matt, it was flexibility.
Okay.
That's
fair.
With Vinny, he wasn't here long enough. I didn't establish that, I'm anybody or anything. It was 1996, 97. But Vinny was always wonderful. Vinny was also the hardest working guy on the team. And when the team got here new, Kevin Byrne had to pull me up and say, you do know the quarterback shows up first, leaves last, has the most, all of that on a quarterback. And Marvin and Jimmy and those guys would always tell me that, too. Vinny's the guy. I want to be honest, dude. I don't think Vinny Testaverde ever appeared on my show, in my air, in any way until the time he sat down with us in Miami 4 years ago.
That's
so
wild.
For him to make the video in that way, because I don't even know why I put him in there. It was something about he called me nice, and there was a whole I thought that
was nasty Nestor, not nice Nestor.
You'll wreck the whole damn thing. Don't tell anybody that. Who's going to watch a documentary now? Nobody's going to watch it now, But anyway, so telling these stories and having to be a part. Because you have jetted in a weird way that if I died tomorrow and you had to do a documentary about me and talk for an hour, the strangest thing about our relationship is how you sort of flew in and you see me with these warm, incredible relationships with all these Marvin Lewis and Mike Smith calling us at midnight to go drinking in Indianapolis. all of this stuff. And you see these Marvin Lewis is a guy on TV to you until you're sitting at the bar with him and we're having tequila, and you know the depth of my relationship. And then where I am now, where like I can't get in tonight, you have to go do double duty, and I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't shot anybody. I'm not OJ. You know what I mean? Like, it's bizarre. The whole, all of it's really weird to me. All these years later.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's,
and have Vinny be the guy that I feature as? I said to him, I don't remember you ever wanting to talk to
there.
Me. You know,
there's definitely some irony
because he's
there.
He never ever ever did my show ever.
Did you bring that up to him at that
time? I don't think you did
because that
I will have to think about
it. I would have thought for sure that
there was a period after he left, like 98, 99, 2000. They won the Super Bowl. He was the only player in the history of the team at that point when they won the Super Bowl who hadn't done my show.
Yeah.
And I mean that, like, if you went roster to roster, there might be a couple of edge. Like, if you met, if you pulled the 96, if you say to me, did Eugene Daniel, yes. Tim Goad, yes. Ed Sutter, yes. Just go. I give you the whole list. Steve Everett, yes. You know, Rob, Pleasant, yes.
Anthony Pleasant. Yeah.
Yes. Burnett, a million times, you know. Greg Montgomery,
James Jones.
James Jones. Oh, I love James Jones.
Yeah.
James Jones, a great guy.
Underrated player, too.
Great guy, James Jones.
Yeah.
T-Bone Jones, late
Those
T-Bone
are the
Jones,
years.
You know?
I mean, obviously, you've...
Brian Kinchin's still on my Facebook page.
See, you've lived the Ravens in an entire media perspective, right?
And I mean, still was thrown out without any dignity.
No, but just the point I'm trying to make is this was the team that arrived when I was 12 going on 13 that I watched through middle school
and
high
school. But you
covered
Ray Lewis for 5 years.
Two training camps and his last two seasons full-time, yeah. 2011 was when I was full-time.
Yeah, they won in 13.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So, but the point is, see, I have such reverence for those really early years just because that wasn't media Luke talking. That was fanboy
I want to get Ed Sutter on the show one day. I loved Ed Sutter. Yeah. Ed was a great guy.
Talking to Vinny was great. I mean.
Vinny was a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't do the show. It didn't make me mad at him, you know?
Yeah, well, and you also have to think about where Vinny was at that point. Miami, star, came up short in the championship game. Tampa Bay, things went horribly. Cleveland,
they moved the franchise
up and down and benched for Eric Zier. And even though that happened in Baltimore,
Vinny
too.
Vinny could sling it though, dude.
Oh,
96, and then he went to the championship game in 98.
Look at his 1996 numbers. I mean, for that era, for him to throw for 4,000 yards. I mean, now 4,000 yards. Very mediocre quarterbacks have had 4,000 yard seasons. Vinny doing that in 1996, that was something.
How about seeing Michael Jackson roll a strike on John Buren's show?
Michael Jackson was one of my favorites, too. I mean,
Michael Jackson was a great guy.
Being a 13-year-old, first of all, his name just demanded some attention. Hey,
did you get to meet Derek Alexander when he was running around out there sort of coaching a little bit?
I feel like I met him once because I think he was out at the Ravens facility, you know, visiting a couple times. And I think I said hello.
DA.
I mean, he wouldn't remember me or anything like that.
I found pictures doing this of my son on Bam Morris's lap.
That's pretty good. Bam Morris.
By the way, we're at Lexington Market. Luke and I are just geezing about the 25th anniversary documentaries app. Please go find it at Baltimore Positive. I walked to the bathroom here and I saw a guy in a John Ogden throwback.
Nice.
And it was a throwback. It had the tagging for throwback.
Was it the 96?
No.
You know,
Yeah. The 96. Okay. The black letters
and the ugly letters.
The ugly.
The ones that were hard to read.
Space age. God bless you, David Modell. You were weird, but I loved you, man. You know.
They cleaned
David's
up.
in the dock.
Well,
big
in
time.
Fairness, I mean, you know I like uniform fashion tweets, all that. But they remedied that in year two. And that is still the same basic template. I mean, it's been tweaked a little bit here and there, but it's still their classic uniform at this point. Now, the Flying Bee went.
I'm the guy that wants the mustard pants back. That's the guy I am. You know?
That's terrible. Mustard pants?
Didn't play well that
you
day.
You and John Harbaugh are the only ones who like those.
Because we grew up in the 70s when the Redskins were wearing them.
I mean, I don't know that 100%, but the way
he reacted to the question. Well, John's had some good ideas. He used to be kind to me and polite. He had some good ideas. But
great football coach.
Yeah, they're a great football evaluation team, which we're going to find this weekend.
Yeah.
They're going to keep you awake. offensive lineman, going to have one, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we talked about in our previous conversation with Nate Wiggins. Look, the board got plucked clean. I mean, it really was. It was picked clean end of round one when the Ravens were picking. They weren't going to move up for any of these linemen. So you look at it and say, all right, do we reach for someone in the second round, which is diminished value? That's exactly what you don't want to do in a big picture sense. Or do you take Nate Wiggins, who was still very much a need? They needed a third outside corner, so he steps right in. He's going to be not a starter, but he's going to play.
I think you do ask guys who weigh 175 pounds, you say, great cover corner,
He's got to eat a few more runs. He's got to come to Fadley's and eat some crab cakes.
You know, you said run support, and I'm thinking, if I weigh 175 pounds, I don't want to be in run support. You know,
no,
tackling.
But you still have to do it.
But in the NFL,
you have to
be able to do
exactly.
it. Exactly. And that really is a differentiator that probably drops him to this point, right?
Could be.
I mean, a little bit like that, where because you see the speed, you see the pedigree, you see where he's at clubs. You also see that he's young. And
sure.
I guess the other part of this is you're projecting out like, all right, halfway this year, sort of most of the way next year, we get to the third year, we might have a Pro Bowl caliber player.
So. Well, and part of that is, as I said, the circumstances. Brandon Stevens is in a contract year. And your roster is getting more and more expensive when you have a franchise quarterback
every day.
Justin Madubuike and all the...
And you have to pay Kyle Hamilton and Linderbaum are coming. They're coming.
Absolutely. And you look at Marlon Humphrey, injury-plagued year, and he's under contract for this year and two more years after that. Second highest cap figure on the team. So if he has another injury-plagued year or he's not so good, we could be talking about him in terms of... We talked about Ronnie Stanley right now. So this was... This wasn't their number one need. I'll continue to say right tackle and the offensive line in general.
But by Monday, but over the weekend, people will hear this.
This is number two or number three.
We're here at Fadley's. We're eating shrimp salad. They'll hear this on Saturday or Sunday. But by Monday, they'll have two offensive linemen, right? The over-under's two.
I would think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
But are they going to be ready to play right away? And that's the question.
But they're going to be guys that they've identified and liked. I mean,
okay,
and this is an organization that's picked Marshall Yonda. This is an organization
that
they've
also picked
Orlando
guys that
can't
play. You know,
but you get two, you get one that plays.
Sure.
I mean, that's what they do.
But my point is, but they don't always play immediately, though.
Dixon or Pitta? Hurst or Andrews?
Yeah, Dixon or Pitta, neither one did much as a rookie, is what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm talking about
okay.
here. So, and look, I'm not criticizing the pick. Nate Wiggins,
you know who's really
right
criticizing
pick?
The pick about how he didn't get any help in the first round? The quarterback at
Probably.
Atlanta Falcons.
Probably.
I saw the headline.
I thought you were going to say Lamar. Any quarterback.
Well, that too.
That,
but
right?
the biggest head scratcher on night one was all that. But also the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who's legendarily a man of God and a straight shooter, and you like that and all that. His first thing was, "You didn't get me any help to win games this year. You brought a guy to bring my job. He ain't even going to play this guy,
it's
right?
So, bizarre.
So like, how do we get better this year?" And that was always Flacco's thing too.
Yeah.
The year they took Lamar, he's like, "Well, you didn't help the team."
No.
You know,
well,
like,
and also the writing was on
right.
the wall.
Well, the writing's
sure.
on the wall for Kirk Cousins.
But they just signed him. This isn't a guy that's been with you 10 years.
I don't expect us to be able to make sense of this.
I just
being Atlanta
no,
radio this morning.
Because when you and I talked about this, I think we led off before we even mentioned Nate Wiggins. I think this is the first thing we talked about. This is different than Green Bay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was one older. I think he was a couple years older than what Kirk Cousins is. I could be wrong on that, but much much more established. Had been there a long time. And that was later in the first round. That wasn't a top 10 pick. And you mentioned the Eagles. And, you know, I mean, there have always been some of these where
right.
you would scratch your head. It's galaxy brain stuff to me. Like, I don't understand. I even saw some people speculate.
Can you imagine being on Atlanta radio today all day long trying to explain it?
Gold. I mean, if you're still, if you're still taking calls at this day and age, by goodness, good luck getting in on a day out like that.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm just saying in general because – I think
I have a hard enough time trying to explain Nate Wiggins.
I saw some people
and not call him Allen.
I saw some right. I said that to you late, early Friday morning. But I saw some people even trying to rationalize, saying, "Is it possible they would try to trade Cousins?" It's like, go look at what the cap hit would be trading him immediately.
No one can have him either, right?
I mean, someone else could, but it would be so prohibitive to their cap. It's like, you just threw money away. Literally, like, you took money and lit it on fire. You might as well have done that. That's how weird that would be. So it's so bizarre to me. But, hey, they're also the team that everyone thought had the circumstances that they could, in a plausible sense, make a run at Lamar Jackson last offseason. And they said, we're good with Desmond Ritter. So
yeah, we're good with
peel back the curtain.
They're good with
bit.
Penix, too.
I mean, there were literally two or three teams. We don't need to rehash this. We talked about this for 2 years, basically. But there were literally two or three teams who had the cap space, the draft capital, a market that would probably be appealing as far as if you're going to try to pry them away from a team that's a contender. and they had no interest. So it's amazing to see a year later to course correct as dramatically as they have, to sign Kirk Cousins to big money and draft. And by the way, the quarterback in waiting, go look at his injury history in college. This guy's had multiple major surgeries with Kirk Cousins coming off of a major
injury. Well,
it was
a crazy reach to begin with. No one else would have taken him at that spot.
I mean, I like, and let me be clear, I like Penix. I think he has a chance to be a good NFL quarterback, but that team at that spot, after you just signed that quarterback in Kirk Cousins?
Get yourself organized. Go back in the room and think that you
it's
know.
Just so, it's one of the weirdest. And look, I don't pretend to
all
be
all at
like,
Home Depot money. You're always rebuilding.
I don't pretend to be a draft savant by any stretch of the imagination, but I cannot think of a set of circumstances more bizarre than whatever that is. And I don't know if we're gonna.
Well, we manage every nuance of the cap money decision. Certainly with Lamar last year, every permutation of what this means and what that means. What does it mean when you sign a quarterback to that kind of contract, and then a guy falls on the clock that you can only play one and really pay one, but it's all over with. Yeah, look, the Orioles have this problem in the outfield with a lot of players and like all this stuff going on too. So Luke Jones is here. We have the Pac-Man scratch-offs we're giving away here. We're at Fadley's. We're going to be here on Fridays before all the home games. There may be a day in June we're not going to be here, but we'll let you know. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Liberty Pure Solutions and our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I want to give a shout-out to Curio Wellness because they have loved up our 25th anniversary. We began this conversation talking about the documentary. It is available. No one listens, everyone hears, and get some rest, draft an offensive lineman,
or two.
Towel off and get ready for the Yankees on Monday. You know, they're coming to town, the Yankees are coming. I am Nestor, he is Luke, he's headed off to the Mike Elias, whoops, maybe I shouldn't have called up Jackson Holiday press conference. We're back for more here at Fadley, stay with us.